We are continuing our series on Maaser Ksafim. And just to recap quickly in a few seconds, what we've learned so far was there's a machlokas. We've shown him whether Maaser Ksafim is a chiv deraisa, chiv derbanan, or simply a minog. And we pass and we assume it's a minog, a strongly encouraged minog, but still only a minog. We also discussed the nature of Maaser Ksafim, whether it's more din in tzedakah, or maybe it's generally part of regular Maaser. And last week we discussed what types of revenues does one have to take Maaser from. Income, gifts, Yerusha. So that's what we discussed last week. This week I'd like to discuss various deductions. What can you deduct prior to giving Maaser? What's something you can take off? Business expenses, renting cars, food, buying clothing, taxes, things like that. That's going to be today's discussion. Amir Tashem, I'm not sure if I'm doing next week. Either I'll do Maaser Ksafim, what you could use the Maaser Ksafim for certain mitzvahs, or maybe I'll give a special shir on Matanos Lavyon and whether or not it's a din and tzedakah, a regular din and tzedakah or not. It's related. I'll decide over the next few days what next week will be. So it starts off in a Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva in Yardaya, this is Hilchos Tzedakah. Pischei Tshuva comments, this is source number one. He quotes Maaser Ksafim Ber Heitev, quoting from the Chavos Yair. If the guy's traveling, he has business expenses, traveling, flights, taxis, gam hotza bichlal keren yechashev, that a person can take into account those expenses as part of the actual revenue, meaning you can deduct expenses from the revenue that you make. We're going to get into details of what qualifies, but generally speaking, the Chavos Yair says one may deduct expenses. But then he quoted Shelis Yavitz that says, Shepikbek bezeh v'daita she'ein menach. One cannot detract ha'otza b'chol inyan. He says one's not allowed to remove any of the expenses from the revenue. So that's a machlokas Pischei Tshuva brings down. He doesn't paskin, but he records such a debate.
So this is referring obviously only to the ancillary expenses.
We're going to go through details of many, many different examples, what applies, what doesn't. So going through this general discussion, whether or not you're allowed to take off expenses, it's Chavos Yair has a beautiful discussion here. And he was asked the question whether or not a person who's going out hunting, who's trying to find some food, and he gathers a lot, but there's a lot of expenses that he incurs along the way, whether it's business, travel expenses, whether it's buying the different equipment that you need. So the question was posed to him, is it mutter linakos min ha'revach? I'm going to read a lot of the bold here as we go through. Are you allowed to remove, take off the expenses from the final revenue? But again, this is all before taking Maaser Ksafim. So that's just for example, just to give numbers for a moment. Let's say he pulls out he collects $1,000 of strawberries. So now that's his new revenue. Does he have to take off 10% of that? Or no, do you take into account the $200 of expenses of travel time and buying the equipment, and you'd really only be Maaser from $800? That would be the discussion. But we'll get into greater details what qualifies as an expense. But generally speaking, can you take off expenses? So you could say, Gemara Menachos, I don't want to go through at all. It's a bit of a challenging Gemara Menachos. But let's assume for now the Gemara Menachos says, when it comes to Maaser Tevua, Maaser Dagon, if I have grains, let's say I had revenue. This year, new strawberries were grown, new grapes were grown. So I need to take Maaser of all those grapes, all the wheat, all the grains that were grown, I need to take Maaser. But let's say before I actually take Maaser, I put those grains back in the ground. I put them in the ground, they start to reproduce and have more grains. So I lost money. I lost those grains. I can't eat those grains anymore because they're in the ground. Is that considered losing money? Is that a deduction that I'm allowed to take off or not? And what the Gemara seems to say is that one's not allowed to take off deduction. You cannot take off expenses from Maaser Dagon. Grains that grow from the ground, the Gemara says, across the board, you do not take into account any expenses. Any revenue that comes out of the ground, you have to take across the board whatever you're pocketing. No differences. So assume that's the case. That's what the Gemara Menachos says in a very complicated way, though. So he wants to know, can you learn from Maaser Dagon and apply that now to Maaser Ksafim? That's the question he wants to know. So I'm going to read through now the bold. Let's read this in source number two, the second paragraph, the bold where it says, Hinei l'chora, at first glance, Bashkafa Rishon, in the first outlook here, Mashma diyesh lo chiyach me'ashas, you can learn from the Gemara Menachos, you have to take Maaser in all your revenue. You should not detract any expenses incurred in the course of making this revenue. And then jumping to the next bullet. And from the fact that Torah says you cannot take off any expenses from being mafresh chuma and Maaser, Akarchach, it's a gzeres akasav shemehautza hoshotzi lo yinochu klal. It's across the board. You can't take off any expenses when you're collecting the grains from the farm. So to the next bowl now, v'im kain, if that's the case, nimsa benidon didanu, our question of Maaser Ksafim, when it comes to your salaries, your income, af anu nemar shezachinu ladun din emes she'enu menaka hotels. You should not take off any expenses because he's equating Maaser Ksafim to Maaser Dagan. So again, the given is Maaser Dagan, you cannot take off any expenses by Maaser Dagan. We're not going to challenge that. That's a given. The question, does that apply also to Maaser Ksafim? And he says at first glance, it would apply as well. No expenses deducted from Maaser Ksafim as well. And he explains why. Because at the bottom of this page here, Maaser Ksafim Dumya de Maaser Karka. It's the same exact din. That's one of the hakirs we've been mentioning here. Is Maaser Ksafim a din in tzedakah? I have to give tzedakah tanim. The Gemara says I have to give a shlish of a shekel. And Chachamim said, no, expand it to Maaser. But really it didn't tzedakah. Or do we say, there's a whole list of types of Maaseros. There's Maaser Rishon, there's Maaser Sheni, there's Maaser Ani, and now there's Maaser Ksafim. Nothing to do with tzedakah. It's just a din of Maaser Behema, it's another list of things that you take Maaser on. So he says, his assumption is that Maaser Ksafim is a din in Maaseros. So just like Maaser Karka, you don't take off any expenses, so to Maaser Ksafim, you don't take off any deductions. That's his initial assumption. But then going on to page number 2, he continues to explain, Amnam, the very top, the bold, Amnam, Keda Nachtinan L'umka Didina. When you look into it, you delve into it further. Nial Anias Daiti Shadin Mehefech Lehefech. It's completely opposite. It's not true. Divadai Mishakonis Chorus Mashuk Mimakum Rachok. A person who buys merchandise far away, who biyoker mimashikona bikir makum. It's obviously more expensive when you're getting overseas, when you're importing, than you're buying from America itself. Well, not necessarily true if you get from China, but it's supposed to be that way. Where exactly, right. But it's supposed to be that when you buy something locally, it's supposed to be cheaper than when you buy something from overseas or far further away. And Im Kaini says, Yeshlomer kol ha'utzos shemotzi hu akaren. That means all the expenses that you're paying, that's part of the revenue. So again, unclear what he's trying to say is, but the value of the item overseas is inherently more expensive when you buy it far away as opposed to when you buy it close to where you live. So the expenses are built into the value of the product. So therefore, he thinks one should definitely take off expenses when dealing with Maaser Ksafim. He ends up bringing a raya here. I don't want to go through the raya, but he makes a chilek. What's the difference? What's the lumdus behind Maaser Ksafim being different than Maaser Karka? So we said before, it's possible that Maaser Ksafim has nothing to do at all with Maaser Karka. It's a din in tzedakah. He makes a very interesting distinction here. Look inside the bold. He says, Hasam Hainu Zriyasa. When it comes to planting, it's all about planting. Hacha, when it comes to Maaser Ksafim, Lav Hainu Zriyasa. That's not the way you plant things. The Gavi Zram Sha Torah Chayva Behafrashas Chumas HaMaaser. The Torah commanded you to be Mafrish Chuma and Maaser from all your grains. Tzarech Lahafrish Mikol V'cho Mashumotzi Asadeh. The Torah tells me that you have to be mafresh from anything that grows from the ground. And there's no mention, Eino manaka mashehoti lizriya. There's no mention of taking off any expenses in the Torah. It doesn't mention this. Now jump down further. Aval mashehu derech masamatim. But when it's the normal way to do business, v'yesh lahotzos, and their expenses along the way, v'yesh lomar dalzehu pashet dalzos yuchshav el akerim v'arvachim asheyalu echad. It seems sensible that the expenses are built into the value of a product. That's the value, that's how it works. Makes a lot of sense. Zeh, that nikrim chidish, umhem tzarech lahafrish. It makes sense. There's cost, there's overhead. All those things are built into the value of the object that you're buying. And therefore, the Maaser Ksafim should be only taken after all the expenses are deducted. That's what he says. And then he says one last thing in this last paragraph, very interesting. He says, the bold, in this very last paragraph, at the end of page 2, Ein erech v'dimyon Maaser Ksafim b'masa b'matin l'maaser dagam. You cannot compare Maaser on your money, on your income, to Maaser Dagan. They're completely two different categories. Why? The Sham, when it comes to Maaser Dagan, Gzeres HaKasavu, Mipnei Shekol Inyon Gidol Tvua Teva Nisiyu. The growing of grain is a mamish a miracle. When you put the seed in the ground, and it grows, to wherever it grows to, that's a nice nigla. Afilu B'davar Shein Zarakala, even if it's a case, let's say you, certain types of vegetables, you plant, the seed remains. It doesn't, you don't lose the seed. It's the potatoes, it just grows, onions grows further and further. You don't lose the initial keren. The keren's there, it expands. Even then, it's a tremendous nace. But when it comes to Masha'ein Kain, go to the next bold, B'masu matan hu minika olam. That's not a nes. It's not about a nes. When something grows from the ground, you have grapes and grains, that's a nes. So the entire revenue that comes out is a mamish nes that we get this. It's all bracha, the matana HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. So you deserve to take ma'aser and everything. We shouldn't really get anything. Nothing should really come out of the ground. But the fact that it's a big nes, so we take ma'aser on the whole produce, the whole revenue, and we don't deduct anything. As opposed to ma'aser matan, of course, all business we make is, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. But it's derech ha'olam, it's apiteva. That's our efforts. So since our efforts are being put into doing the masa matan, making the business sales, so then we're allowed to take off the effort, the expenses that we put into it, and all the costs. That's the distinction that he draws, which is a fascinating distinction. And in light of that distinction, the Chavis Yor Paskins, one is therefore allowed to take off business expenses before taking Meiser. So he makes $100,000 for the year, and says he has $20,000 of expenses, he just has to take Meiser on $80,000, let's say. That's what he concludes. Now again, we saw that Pischei Tshuva said that it's really a machlokas poskim, whether you're allowed to take off expenses. Chavis Yair says you can. The Rav Yaakov Emden said you could not. How do we poskim? So Aruch HaShulchan, if you look number three, he says as follows. If you read the bold, he says, "V'chol ha'utzos shehaya lo al ha'esek." All the different expenses that a person has when engaged in a certain business deal. Av masha nasa hu bederech, his travel expenses. V'achol v'shas, we're going to get to great detail in a moment, what he eats. He needs to eat some food wherever he's going. Ha'kol nechshav al ha'utzos ha'esek, that's included in the expenses and costs of the business. U'menake ha'kol, you take off all the expenses that you have to put in to making this business deal. Aval ha'utzos beis ha'lo yinake, you cannot take off your house expenses, your mortgage, feeding the family, clothing the kids, that's not a business expense. Those are expenses that you personally have. Only expenses that are related to your making of the money, your revenue, only that is allowed to be taken into account and making this deduction. So that's how you paskin, yeah.
Did the rabbi say there's a shita that some people hold that it's on the gross?
Yes, there's a shita, yes.
How could that be?
I mean, some people do a million dollar deal and they make $10,000. That's how they do business. So how could that even be relevant?
That's
add all your expenses.
Right. Okay, but either way, some say...
How can you not take off your expenses? Sometimes the expenses could be 50%, 80%.
So great, that's...
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
You could add your expenses into the selling price of schara, let's say. And so you really, the amount you're getting is including your expenses, so you can't take it from the gross. If you've included all your expenses and you've marked up whatever your inventory is to cover all your expenses.
You have to define what's considered a cost. Some things are a loss as opposed to a cost. A loss can be taken into account as part of, you lose a business deal, that certainly can be deducted from your revenue. But if I'm spending tons of money and buying new suits and all these cars.
That's a different question. I was talking about this.
So you have to define what's considered a cost. But we'll get to the details. Either way, we assume that you are allowed to take off any business expenses before taking your Meiser. It's a very interesting... Yeah.
Really, you're just saying paying Meiser. You're talking about paying Meiser on profit.
Correct. 100%. Exactly.
But you said there is a
sheet. There's a sheet that we don't pass like that. Let's not get involved in that.
Okay.
Let's look at Chuas Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak has an interesting... same idea, but he just has an interesting example, which I find fascinating. So, number four, he writes as follows. That discussion we just discussed about taking off costs and expenses before taking Meiser. There are many examples, whatever is needed, whatever details there are in terms of making money. You're allowed to deduct. Which I think he's referring to, a Lexus. You want to buy a nice car. And I think that's what he's referring to. So you want to?
It's not luxury.
Yeah.
It means luxury.
Yeah, it's luxury. Yeah. Okay.
Luxus is usually.
Is it luxury? Yeah, is it? Okay.
It's the same thing.
That's probably where the name came from, Lexus, anyways.
Some kind of...
So he has to spend to buy a car, to lease a car, let's say. And he has all these different business expenses, so he paskins that you're allowed to take off those expenses. A guy needs to buy a suit, he mentions later on, you're allowed to take off those expenses if you need that for the business meeting. So therefore, it seems that most poskim allow one to remove any expenses and costs prior to taking Meiser Kesafim. I'm going to go through, before I get to the discussion of taxes, this beautiful sefer, the Art Scroll, Rav Shimon Taub, who discusses many of these details. I'm going to go through and make some comments along the way of various examples, halach lamais examples that are very applicable to this discussion. So first, he talks about food. A guy goes on a business trip and needs to buy food for himself. He's going out somewhere in the Midwest and there's no kosher food, or there's even kosher food, and he goes to a restaurant. So one is allowed to deduct that money on the meals that he needs for the business meeting, or just to the trip to keep him from, being hungry. So that type of expense is permitted, but he makes a very interesting caveat here that it's only more than you would have normally spent. Meaning, if I had a meal at home, it cost me $10 for my meal, and I go overseas or wherever I'm traveling to, I buy a $25 meal because that's what's available. So I'm only allowed to take the $15 extra. I mean, $10 is for me. $10 is for me what I would have normally taken. That's not a business expense. That's for me to live. If I'm going on a business meeting, I want to be in a more chashev restaurant, or the place I'm going to happens to have very expensive food only, so I can only get a meal for $25. So the $15 difference is what's viewed as a business expense, not the $10 that I would have normally have paid. Now, each person has a normal what they would have paid for a meal. Some guys will only pay $2 for a meal. Other guys' normal meal will be $25. It all depends on the person's average meal and the surplus above that amount that's being spent on the business meeting. The business meal, that can be deducted from the...
Would you say the same thing about your airfare or your car trip? How much money you would have spent to get to work?
No.
As opposed to how much money you're spending to travel?
No, because that's exclusively... You're only traveling there for a business meeting, for a business deal.
I'm only eating there because I'm on a business
deal. No, you're eating wherever you are.
Anyway.
Eating wherever you are.
No, I thought he was saying you travel to work wherever you are also.
So you're saying there's a filling then between taking out other people together with me for a business... dinner, as opposed to going to eat on my own?
No, if you're going, let's say you're traveling somewhere for business, and you go out for a meal by yourself. You're eating a meal for yourself.
So it's nothing to do if I have a business meeting. It's not.
But when you're on that business trip, you need to eat food.
I understand, but I'm taking out five other people for dinner.
Ah, so that's a different discussion. If you're taking out other people, clients or whatever people you're taking out for business, or even employees or coworkers, and you're spending it for a business meeting, so all those additional expenses can be deducted because that's a business cost. That's a business expense.
But yours can't?
What you personally eat, again, if you want to be very detailed, if you would have normally eaten a $10 meal at home,
I understand that.
So that's what we're talking about.
Why is that different than if I would drive to work and it would cost me $10 in gas, but now that I drove to Philadelphia, it cost me...
Because you're only driving to work because you need to make money. It's a business expense.
I'm only going out to eat. I'm only in this other place.
Okay.
How do you make that chiluk?
I think it's a very posh difference. We could talk about it more afterwards if you want. I think it's very clear the difference, though. Okay. That's when it comes to food expenses, though. Now, again, so if you're taking out clients or business meetings, so any additional cost that you would above your normal food, you could take that as an expense. So I don't normally pay for my clients to eat. So now that I'm paying for them for this meal, so I can take off those $50 additional costs as my business expense. That's, I think, very posh.
What do they say if you take everybody out for a $200 meal, basic? Or you say, to do business, I think we really need to spend $500?
Very good question. Excellent question. At what point? Where's the limit?
Yeah.
It's hard to know. If it's really excessive... I think some posts might say that it's really inappropriate to take all that for off the business costs. If you could have taken them to a decent restaurant for $200 a piece, and you're taking them $500, and there's no difference in how much you're going to make on that business deal, so you don't really know.
Say, I believe.
So you have to ask a postic. So let's say you feel you're taking out a chashev client, and he's only going to do a deal if you take him to the most chashev restaurant.
Right.
So it's partially the $500 meal is part of the business expense. Let's say you're taking out a decent sized client. He would have been happy with a $200 meal. But you want to make him feel chashuv, just to make him feel chashuv, but it's not really going to make you money, then you wouldn't be able to. How do you assess that? You can't. So unless you talk to a postdoc who really knows the ins and outs of business and each dealings, you don't really, really know. But in theory, it's a very, very good point.
IRS has guidelines also.
What?
The IRS has guidelines.
Oh, they do? Okay, so speak to an accountant then if you want to know for the tax ramifications.
Normal and reasonable.
Normal and reasonable, okay.
Assuming there's any normal, reasonable person.
No, sure. When I worked in PwC, so we had, if you stayed after 8 o'clock or so, they'd pay for dinner. But there's a certain amount you could spend, $40 for your meal. If you wanted to get an $80 meal, you couldn't take off the extra $40. That wasn't, so I don't know what the guidelines are exactly for MICER purposes, what's considered reasonable, but you have to be reasonable. So if you don't have common sense, so speak to someone who has common sense, maybe an accountant. Okay. And what about clothing? So you want to go to a business meeting, you want to look very impressive, so you buy yourself a nice suit. So let's say you would have bought the suit anyways. Just like you would have bought the food anyways. I need a new suit. I happen to buy a new suit for myself, but I'll use it for the business meeting. So that's where they say you cannot really take off before Ma'aser Ksavim, because I need that for my own to wear every single day. Not for business purposes, just to have clothing to wear. That you would not be able to deduct. But let's say I'm debating between a $90 suit and a $400 suit. So I'm okay with a $90 suit, but for the business meeting, I want to look more chashuv, so I go the $400 route. So then I could take, again, that same difference of $310 more that I'm spending for the business deal, I might be able to take off. Now let's say I decide I want to go with $1,000, I want to go for the $2,000 Zenya suit, right? So now the same question is that really going to make or break my deal if it's a Zenya versus not? Probably not. So you will not be able to take that extra money I'm spending for that very fancy suit, because that's not going to make the deal. But if you think somehow the guy's going to check inside what kind of suit you're wearing, that guy may find as well, and it's going to make you have that deal, so then maybe you would be able to. But again, hard to really assess whether that's really going to bring you the business or not.
And this is only to assess how much tzedakah to give.
Exactly. So again, a lot of these things that I said before, this is all minhagim. The whole idea of ma'aser ksavim is a minhag. So this is only if you want to really be detailed. Now, it's very nice to be very exact, but it's very hard also. It requires very, very, you know, very, very particular detailed keeping of costs. So it's hard. Don't make yourself crazy, but I'm just presenting all the various issues that come up. Let's say a car. A guy wants to lease a car. Or a guy, just moved jobs. He's working in the city. Now he needs to buy a car because he's going to Connecticut or something. Now he needs to buy a car for his business purposes. So one is allowed to deduct. Let's talk about leasing first. The person's allowed to deduct money when you're leasing or renting a car for the purposes of business. I'm only renting it for the day because I need to go out to a client in Philadelphia or Connecticut, so I rent the car for the day. Or I need to lease it, I'm going out for 1 month out in Texas, I'm there for the month, so I need to lease a car because I need to get around. So that's clearly not for personal use, that's for business use. You're certainly allowed to do that. Now your question, let's say I get the more expensive car. So same idea, I'm not going to get more money if I have a fancier car. So I can't spend the $500 for the Lexus instead of the $200 for the Accord. But let's say I realize if I show up in a nice fancy car, I'm going to look chashuv and they're going to make the deal with me. So then I would be able to, again, take into account the entire $500 lease for the fancy BMW, let's say. But again, it's hard to assess whether that really is going to turn into anything.
What if you got the car because you got the new job, but you're also using it for other things because as long as you have it, you know.
Right. So that's a good question. Let's say, how do you distinguish between business and personal? Or a guy's going to a trip. He's going to Florida. So when you go to Florida for business, you're also going to go for pleasure also. You're not going to just go for the day business. You just spend two extra days there. So the way they say this is, what's the real reason why you're going? The real reason why you're going is really for business. That's why you started going in the first place. But you wanted to extend it a couple extra days. That's a business expense. So your flights, you would have only paid because of the business. But the flights are all business expenses. So the car, for the first day that you're going for business, that first day would be business expense. The additional 2 days that you're keeping the car for the pleasure, that would be pleasure expense. Let's say I'm going to Florida for pleasure, and I happen to have a client down there, so I want to spend one lunch. I want to go out with him one day, downtown Miami, and meet him for some lunch. So that would be the pleasure trip. I cannot deduct the airfare for business. I'm going for pleasure. That meal I could deduct for business, but all the other things, it's really for pleasure. So that's how you have to distinguish. Same thing with a car. The only reason why you got the car is because you need to do it for business, so then that's a business expense.
Allow the extra 2 days of pleasure? Because the IRS wouldn't, right? You say you're allowed to deduct.
You use your car every day for business.
Uh-huh.
You're a salesman that day. And you really want to put a formula together, you can say 5/7, 2 days a week, in theory, you're not using the car, and 5 days you are using the car. And that was always an acceptable way to expense
A car.
A car.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, the other thing is that, let's say you are a salesman.
The other 2 days.
And you are regularly having to take clients out, and you're driving around. You would probably go for a nicer car. You would expense that because in reality, it's like an office. It's like having a nice office. Having a nice car is having a nice office. And that creates the right environment for you to make, in theory, to make a better deal.
Or interesting.
It shows a client you're already here, and that's something you want.
I got you.
People want to do business.
Right. Uh-huh.
I have friends that have nice cars just because when I went into that.
So if that's the case, if you speak to a certain POSEC who knows that it's really true that you'll get more business because you have a nicer car, then that would seemingly be the entire expense would be put on as business expense.
But the rabbi said you can, from Meiser, count, even though the pleasure days, you could take that off. Because you wouldn't have gone otherwise.
Exactly.
I mean, the IRS wouldn't hold that way. They say it's 5 days.
I don't know much about the IRS.
No, just simple, the taxes.
Right.
You couldn't tell them, well, I was there and I spent another 2 days, I'm deducting that too. But you're saying with the halacha, you do.
Correct. Okay, now what about us paying for gas? Oh, it's already getting late. Paying for gas and repairs. So same idea. If it's a car that's really a personal car, then I couldn't. But if it's a business car, so then any gas needed or any repairs for the car, I certainly can take off as business expense. What else can we go through here? It's a person is an employer. So anything he has to pay his employees, those wages he pays to the employees are taken off before he takes his own revenue. That's, I think, a pashut expense that you would be able to take off. You pay your employees before you pay yourself, and then you take ma'aser k'safim on whatever you have left to yourself. Let's say business insurance. That, too, is considered a business. That's a business expense, any insurance you need for your business, for your property. Now, Anish,
in regards to an employer, is there a concept of, like, a corporation where money stays in the corporation before a business owner takes
We discussed a little bit last week about what point do you really, when you acquire that money, when it's yours. If it's an entity, so you don't really take meiser until you actually, you know, actualize that into your own pocket.
It ends up, sounds like it'll be the same math, though.
It would be, yeah.
Doesn't make a difference.
It's just when it comes into your... Now, there's an interesting discussion. Let's say you buy something where you get equity. You buy a car. Instead, we spoke about leasing or renting a car. But let's say you buy a building. You buy a car where now you own it. So now that full expense is not a loss to me. I own it. At one point down the line, I could sell it from profit or some revenue at least, or some equity. So what's the halacha when it comes to that? So there is a big discussion, machlokes poskim, whether you could take, if I buy, you know, an office building for, I don't know, $10 million, can I view that as a business expense, even though down the line I could sell it for $15 million? Am I allowed to do that? That's a discussion that's found in the poskim. And the poskim, you know,
does
say...
Does it matter if you're in the real estate business or another business? I mean, because that could be your business
itself. No, it could be. No difference. No, it just means you own more real estate if you're a real estate guy. No difference. No, all the same. If you buy something as a business, but I have equity in it now, so there's a discussion whether I could take off that business expense because it's not a full business expense because I own equity in it right now. So that's a discussion. So, again, he doesn't point out here how we poskim with regards to that. But he does mention if you assume that you cannot view that as a business expense. When I buy a $10 million building that I own now, if I cannot take that off as a business expense, I can take off any additional expenses that come along with it. Meaning if the taxes, the real estate taxes, we didn't discuss taxes yet. But any other costs, you know, the maintenance, the water, the electricity, those things I certainly can take off. I know equity when I pay that off. Those are business costs. Those are business expenses. I certainly can deduct that prior to taking my k'safim. The only question is buying the building where I now own equity. That's the only shiloh that comes up in the poskim.
Same thing with stocks. You're talking basically anything, an investment before you realize the gains.
Exactly. So with stocks, there are no expenses. Here, I own a building, but now they're broker expenses, broker fees, you can take those off, l'chora. Actually, I don't know if you can, actually. I don't think you can. That's not a business expense. That's part of the property. It's part of the business. That's not a business expense.
Once you're buying the property, you can have the loss. If you're buying the business, you can have the loss.
For tax purposes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they don't have to pay taxes. They're buying something that's for sure losing the battle.
I'm not familiar with this. You have to explain this to me after how this works. Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure of that case. But let's say you buy a property and you want to rent it out. So you're a landlord now. So anything that you're getting paid for the additional expenses, again, taxes and insurance and maintenance, that you're allowed to take off. Those are all considered business expenses. But again, any money that I have in the equity, I'm not allowed to take off. That's in terms of owning equity. The same thing applies to owning cars as well.
It's kind of saying it doesn't have to be liquid. It doesn't have to be available cash. It could be your real estate. It could be however you have it. It's your resources. It's your assets. It doesn't have to be liquid. It doesn't have to be cash available to spend.
We said last time the only time you have to pay my six off is when you actualize it. When you realize it, that's when you have to pay. When it's in tax and when it's in stocks, you don't have to pay.
No, but you just said I'm talking about real estate. If I have a $10 million building, even mm-hmm. though I don't have the cash, that's my asset. I have to pay on that. You told me just deduct the expenses of the maintaining the building.
That was machlok. We said there's a machlok is whether or not you have to, whether you can view those $10 million that you spent as business expense or not. That's a machlok. I didn't say how we poskim.
There's any difference between a car and a building because a car
depreciates, sure. Sure.
A building doesn't depreciate.
Exactly. So in terms of that, you have to figure out the depreciation of a car. There is a, certainly a big difference. They point that out as well.
The Rav just mentioned that if a person buys stocks, he doesn't have to pay Meister until he...
until he sells them.
No, but if he's buying it long term, there are dividends given quarterly.
That's different. So dividends, dividends you do pay. That's profit. You would pay Meister Kesafim on your dividends, yes. But the actual value of the stocks, you don't pay until you sell them off however many years down the line. The dividends you get every year, whatever, however frequently you get them, you would pay on those dividends. Now, let's say a person, buys a desk. He buys a desk, let's say. So that's, he has equity now in that desk. It's his desk. Do you have to pay? Is that considered a business expense? So that we view as a business expense, and you're allowed to take that off. Now, a person has to be careful. Let's say you're buying a desk, or you're buying pens and papers and pencils, but you're buying for your office, and you use some for the house also. So if you want to really be exact, then you're not allowed to really take any Meister Kesafim. You can't deduct whatever you're using for your personal use. That's not a business expense. I buy 500 pens, I'll take 200 to help my house to use for my kids and 300 in the business. Then you can only take off 300 worth of those pens for the business expense.
You probably only need 100 for the children.
Okay, fine.
What if you buy a desk and find money in it?
That was last week, right? He was here, I think, right? Yeah.
Tell Oprah.
Tell Oprah? Now, what about paying for schooling, education, for a business? Medical school, whatever other schooling you might need, can you take that off as a business expense? And they say...
continuing or both.
So they say if a person goes into school, planning to get a job, pre-med, medical school, so then you would be able to take that off as a business expense because that's helping you get, the money. Though it's long-term, that would be permitted to be as a business expense. Now, let's say a person goes to school thinking he's going to be one type of profession, end up changing along the way. That, too, would be permitted because his intention initially was to make money through that education that he's receiving. You would be allowed to take that as a business expense, even though you may never actually use that degree. Now, a person just going to college just to get an education doesn't know what he's going to be, and may not even use that degree, then it's not so clear that that can be viewed as a business expense.
So with the school, let's say, typically, that money won't be made, certainly the Meister, so he takes it off for that 15 years or whatever it is?
It's a very good question.
Well, 1 year.
Can you really bank that, bank those those negatives along the way? I wonder. I know I didn't see that addressed. That's a good question. I don't think so. That next week we're going to discuss tuition. Next week or 2 weeks we're going to discuss from the parents' perspective, paying for the kids. Now we're talking about the person paying for himself. Can he use this? Now, in terms of your question, the 15-year investment of school, I don't know. I imagine you probably can take that credit later on, but I don't know for sure. Certainly, when a person is working and he's going through ongoing education, he's going to business school at night, and that certainly a person can deduct from his current earnings. But in your case, I'm not sure.
You're talking about $200,000 worth of outstanding student loans.
Right. Okay, now let's... there's one question I wanted to address here. We did school. Okay, let's talk about taxes quickly. We don't have much time. But there's a discussion that's found in the Poskim. Rama says, we'll discuss this again at greater length next week. Rama Paskin's number 5. We'll look this inside. That a person, what do you do with Meister Kesafim? This is a good transition to next week's... What can you do with Meister Kesafim? What can I buy with Meister Kesafim? So the Rama writes, this is number 5, Ein lasos mimeiser shelo davar mitzvah. You cannot use meiser to buy a mitzvah. You can't use meiser to buy mataros levyonim. You can go neros to the base knesses, oshar dvar mitzvah. You can't buy them at all for an obligation that I have. Rak nenu lanim, you have to give them to poor people. It's meant to be used for tzedakah. That's what meiser kesafim is for. Now we're going to get into greater details. Don't ask questions on what other applications we have just yet, but just keep that in mind. You can only use it for aniyim. So on this says the Taz, Kol Shekein, number 6, Kol Shekein, a person should not be lefroa behem masim da'aser. You cannot pay off your taxes. That's an obligation. That's not for aniyim, the taxes. It's for the government. You cannot pay taxes with your Meiser Kesafim money.
Pay off taxes.
Right. So now Ramosha gets into a discussion along with other poskim. Well, it really depends what type of tax this is. If it's income tax, so then I can take it off. Because you can't view the gross income. I'm not making that gross income. You're allowed to take off the income tax before I take my Meiser Kesafim. So that's a pashut distinction, Ramosha says. The taxes that Taz is referring to that I cannot use my Meiser Kesafim is sales tax. You're going to buy something in the store, they added another 8% tax. That I cannot use my Meiser Kesafim to pay for that 8%. That's a new obligation I created for myself. I have the money now, I'm deciding to buy something, so I can't take my Meiser Kesafim to pay that 8%. That's not allowed. Or when it comes to real estate taxes, also. That real estate taxes, I cannot use my Meister Kesuvim to pay my real estate taxes on my house. That's not allowed. The only time you can pay off taxes is when it comes to the income tax. Because income tax is, I never get that money. It never comes to my possession. That's a big distinction.
What about Social Security?
Same, same exact thing. That too, you can deduct prior to Meister Kesuvim, because that's an obligation we all have, but it never gets to my hand anyways. You know, even if a person were to hold, you know, won't pay until the end of the year, it's not really viewed as his earnings. You can deduct it, yeah.
It sounds like the Taz is talking about using it to pay it, but we're talking about deducting from it. It's two different things.
No, so I have now, when I make $100,000, I have a $40,000 obligation now of taxes, let's say. So that now I have to pay that money. Can I use my Kesuvim to pay that money? So he's saying, not only can you not use my Kesuvim, you actually could deduct that before you even take your Meister Kesuvim. It's not even viewed as an obligation of yours. But you're right. In terms of the direction, what's going on, he's talking about paying. The way they used to have taxes was the government said every single... What?
It's not a tax credit. It's a tax deduction.
Exactly.
It's not dollar for dollar credit.
So, but what they used to have taxes was each person or each community had an obligation to pay a certain amount of taxes. It worked very different than ours. So it didn't go percentage of how much money you made. So you and I had $100 taxes. I'm not allowed to pay that with my Meister Kesuvim money. But there's a little bit of a difference how they apply this. Okay, so again, there's a lot to do about business expenses. I'm going to stop here, but I want to just share with you one nice idea I saw, again, in this beautiful sefer, the Ber Chaim, that relates to giving tzedakah, and it connects itself to Purim as well. So the Ber Chaim, Rav Biederman, he quotes some parsha shekal, machatzis shekel. Now, when a person gives machatzis shekel, the pasuk says, "Lo yeheb behem negef." There won't be any negef, there won't be a magefa, nothing bad will happen to a person when he gives tzedakah. And that's the famous pasuk in Mishlei, "Vit tzedakah tatzel mimavis." By giving tzedakah, a person is prevented from any death. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, not only does it prevent him from any misa at all, but even from a misa mishuna, even from a strange, rather, not only from misa mishuna, but even from a misa asma. A person is mamish saved from death by giving tzedakah. So there's a beautiful shla, he says, in the letters of Negev, how that proves the point. The letters of Negev have the same exact letters as Geffen. What's the connection of Negev to Geffen? He doesn't explain, but I think the idea is as follows. Geffen is the kosher bracha is with Geffen, the Yayin. Yayin, somehow Geffen is supposed to be the source of bracha, the kosher bracha. Negev is the opposite of bracha. Negev is misa, it's magefa, and Geffen is supposed to produce bracha. So what's the difference of the letters? The same exact letters. So the Shlach points out there's a big difference. The letters Geffen, the pay is a closed pay, as opposed to Negef, the pay is at the end, it's open. And the Nun in Negef, the Nun is closed, but by Geffen, the Nun is long and open. What's the difference? So he says as follows. We know that the letter Gimel, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us the Gimel Dalet. Why Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hevav? The Gemara explains why the different orders of the Osios. So Gimel Dalet means Gomel Dalet Dalim, right? You're Gomel Chasadim to the Dalim to the Anim. Gimel represents Gomel Dalim doing Chesed to the Anim. So what about the Nun and the Fe? So the Nun means a Nesina, and the Pe means a Pe. So Negev means when the Nun is closed, when your Nesina is closed, you don't give Behar Vacha. And the peh is open, you talk about how much you do, all the tzedakah that you're doing, that's negev, when the peh is open. And the nun is closed, but your nesina is not such a good nesina. But you do a bederech geffen, then the peh is closed, your peh is closed, you're not speaking about what you're accomplishing. But the nun is wide open, you're doing baravach, you're giving a mamish a great nesina. So that's what it means. We take the lo yebem negev, there's no negev, there's no negev at all when you give tzedakah. It's matzil mimaves, it's geffen, we give bederech geffen, that's when you have their hatzalah mimisa. So you should be zocha. As Purim, as Geffen, Yayin's coming along right around the corner, should be Zochet to give the Derech Harvacha, the Derech Geffen, and be saved from all the Misa, from all the terrible things that are happening in the world, in Yitzhak Hashem.
Amen.